Station number 15590, Field Plowright, Reel 2.
Mr. Plowright, Reel 2. You were guided into the 70th Battalion of the Sherwood Foresters. What actually happened when you left the recruiting office then? Did you already know you were going to them?
No, not really. I went back home again, and in fact back to work. But a few days later, the notice came that I'd been posted to the battalion, and it was in Nottingham. The battalion was in Nottingham, on Nottingham area.
So it'd still be in August?
Yes, oh yes.
And where were they when you joined them?
I went to Waverley Street, Nottingham.
Was that the drill hall?
No, there was a school in Raleigh Street adjacent where we marched for meals, but we were in some of those houses up round the Nottingham Arboretum in that area, Waverley Street area.
And you were going to, that was where you were going to do your basic training?
We used to do march on to the forest at Nottingham, where the fairground, the Goose Fair, is held, and we did all our drills, exercises and that sort of thing, and there.
So, when you joined them at Waverley Street, was the whole battalion in billet?
No, they were... There wasn't a battalion as such. There were stragglers, there were all sorts of people there, all young people, basically.
Did the unit, the part that you... Did it have a name, what you were joining at Waverley Street? I mean, the unit, were you a company or a...
No, 70th Foresters, I think, I remember. That was all, 70th Sherwood Foresters.
And about how many of you were there?
Well, I was in this big house. I think there'd be about 30 in there. But there were others in other houses, and so that when we marched down to Raleigh Street School for meals, there'd probably be 100 or more.
Now, how did you fit in? I mean, this was your first time, you know, in the army. How did you fit in with the other new recruits?
I met people that I liked and people that I didn't like. I had two great friends there. One was a guy called John Nevitt, and another one was Guy... Sorry, I forget his name. And Nevitt was the son of the adjutant of another Sherwood Forest regiment. Nevitt Senior was the adjutant of I don't know what battalion it was, but it was another Sherwood Forester outfit, and he was from Derby, and Guy, whatever his name was came from the south, and he'd been to Winchester College, and these two fellas are. They were all, I got on all right with them. They played football and cricket and all the things, and did swimming, and they were sort of things that you first became attracted by.
You were from a small country village.
Yes.
And I presume a lot of the lads weren't, you know.
Yes.
Did that cause any difficulty for you, or did you feel...
No. We were allowed out quite a lot, and you didn't have a lot of money, so you couldn't do very much, but at weekends, if we weren't doing guards or anything like that, went back home. It was only 8 miles when all said and done. Went back home and had a good old Sunday lunch, and left my clothes to be washed. Mother washed the clothes and brought them back again in the following week.
I mean, did you find that... you know, they were a bit more worldly wise than you were, some of these.
Well, strangely, neither of these two were. There were people there that were obviously very much more worldly wise whipping all your stuff, and you got to be careful where you put your razor, otherwise somebody would take it, and that sort of thing. Oh, yes, there was a motley crowd. They weren't all Winchester educated, and the son of Adjutant Nevitt at 16th Battalion or 14th Battalion Foresters. In fact, there were some real mongrels there. There's one guy there that he smelt so much that they wouldn't have him in the barrack room, in this room where they were. There was about five of them in there on the floor. There were no beds, just on palliasses on the floor. And this guy whose name escaped me, it doesn't matter, they wouldn't have him in. And eventually they took him, and there was a bath in this place, but there was no hot water. And they put him in the bath and held him under and scrubbed him until he was red raw. These guys that were in this room.
Was there any friction between the various groups?
The only friction we had was when, as I say, we used to march down to the, well, they still call it the forest, and there was miles of grass and that sort of thing, and we used to play five-a-sides, and there was some friction that arose then, because one team used to gather all the toughies, and the other lot seemed to be a little bit more gentle. Or a bit different, if you like, but I think they sorted themselves out, basically. I don't think there was any... I think it was done naturally, if you like. If they had an affinity with each other, they probably chose that group to be with.
Was there any actual bullying amongst the new recruits?
I think that the regular army people that were there, it did. Yes, I did, thinking back about it, there was a sergeant there, and he bullied.
But not amongst the recruits?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I mean, was it inter-recruit?
I can't recall any. I think most people were the same age group, and they were still sort of... and there were some good lads there. They weren't all idiots, of course. Not by any means. So I suppose that... no, I don't think there was any bullying as such.
There you were, just on palliasses, on the floor.
Yes.
What about the food at the Raleigh Street School?
That was interesting. We had bread at that stage. There was a huge pot of jam, a tin of jam, which I'd never seen anything like. And I was introduced to such things as cheese with jam on. And, of course, they had margarine out of those great big tins as well, and they slapped, had a mess tin, which came into two, and in one you had your cheese, your jam, and your bread, and in the other they poured the tea. And you carried it across to a table, and, of course, the mess tin was so hot, you put your lips to it, they just burnt your lips. So you got to wait until the tea got cold.
What about the main meals?
Main meals, we had potatoes and carrots and things like that. Meat, we had some meat. I can't recall what sort it was, really.
Was the food all right?
No, not really, no. No, there was never enough to satisfy 18-year-olds of 6 feet odd and healthy appetites and what have you. No, it was never enough, but I suppose it was adequate.
Was it decent quality?
No, it wasn't. No, it was just, if we'd had it at home, I suppose you wouldn't have eaten it.
Now, take me through, one way of looking at your training is to go through a sort of typical day, you know, of what training is.
Mm.
What time would you start the day?
Rivali was at 6:30. And you'd got to have your ablutions and be on a breakfast parade to march down to Raleigh Street for 8 o'clock. And then back to your billet, there was a kit inspection. All your blankets folded, your palliasse folded, everything laid out for an inspection, and the billet clean. Had to be swept out and stand to your beds ready for an inspection.
Now, would you have done that before you went on the breakfast parade? Or
no,
you...
when we came back.
And how strict an inspection was it? Was it like the regular army where everything has to be perfect, or was it just
it wasn't as perfect as it became in later years, but it was adequate. But I suppose when there's four or five of you in a small room and each bed is folding back to the foot of the other one, you can't have a lot of room for tidiness. Or being immaculate, if you like.
So what after the kit inspection?
Then we had various activities, and they were posted up. There was the marching, drilling.
Now, let's look at them first. The drill, marching drill, that sort of thing. Did the experience you'd had before with the Boys' Brigade and the LDV, did it do you any good when it came to actual army drill?
No, not really. No, not really. In the Boys' Brigade, the drilling had been based on the First World War, Form 4s and Reform 2 Deep. And then in this era, they were in the threes. They formed threes. So that was different anyway. And I don't think in the LDV we never had the stuff that was put at us at this stage.
What sort of stuff?
Well, there was the... You were marching absolutely in strict time, left, right, left, up and down, left turn, right turn on the march, and up and down and up and down and so on. There were no rifles at this stage, remember. We hadn't been issued with rifles. And... So that drill was, also, I suppose, drill at that stage was, it was boring, if you like.
Now, you didn't
Very
enjoy
boring.
The drill with the Boys' Brigade, but you didn't enjoy this?
No, not really, because it's so repetitive, up and down, day after day, up and down, and so on.
So that was one of the activities.
Yes.
What else? I mean... What else might be put on in the morning session?
You could... Well, there was no weapon training, so it was basically drill and sports at that stage.
Now, we'll look at sports. You were dead keen on sports. Did you shine straight away? Cause I know you did later one or two other sports. But...
Well, we got on to football, yes, and... I suppose I was doing all right then at football, yes. I was better than most of those that were there, and there were some good ones there.
How was the sport organised?
I'm trying to think of this fella's name. He was a colour sergeant, an APTC sergeant, and he was a Warnie Cresswell, played for Sunderland and England. He was our mentor, and I liked him very much. And he taught us things like take the ball, control it, pass it, don't run with it. If you ran, you were penalised. He taught us this technique, and we played this quite a lot, and then we formed a team. He formed a team, and we competed against another company, which was basically... around the Bullwell area. There was another company, they formed into a company by now, and there was another company there of the same battalion at Bull Park, and we played them at football.
What were the games like?
Oh, they were good. They were good. There were some good pitches on the training, and they had full kit. We got plenty of footballs, and we even had jerseys. Given us, the team had jerseys given us. Otherwise, we played in PT kit, the white singlet and blue standard blue shorts.
Would you use proper boots?
We didn't. No, we didn't. In the summer, we didn't. We, bear in mind that the weather was still nice at that stage on the Forest. The days were nice, and we played in pumps. But when we played for the battalion, we got football boots. For the company, we got football boots.
Now, you mentioned the company, the Bulwell Company. Had your lot been made into a company?
Yes, yes.
What letter was it given?
I don't know. I can't remember.
We can look it up.
I can't remember.
But it was a company now.
For instance, Wally wasn't there. He was in, and the one in particular, Neville Wildgust. He was at Bulwell. One or two that I met afterwards were at Bulwell.
So, that was another thing you'd do in the morning sessions, football. Anything else that they... At this early stage?
I can't remember much more other than drill, football and PT.
The PT, what was that? I mean, I know what it is, but I mean, what type of things were you doing?
It was just exercises, agility. We didn't have any equipment. Ordinary limbering up exercises, knees full bend and arms full stretch stuff.
What about boxing? Did the PT go into that?
Or? No, not there, they didn't, no.
So, you'd have a morning session, and then would you go to the rally school for your...
For lunch, or yes, or dinner parade, yes.
Would that be the main meal?
Yes, yes it was, yes.
And then the afternoon?
Football again, PT and so on.
More of the same?
Yes, yes.
And then, what time would you pack up?
Packed up about 4 o'clock.
What did you do then?
Then there were guards then.
Tell me about the guards. They'd be teaching you while they were putting you on the
yes.
guard, wouldn't they?
Yeah. There were no rifle and bayonets at that stage. We had what they called a stick guard, and the two of you were on, and they patrolled round the area, including the dining hall at Rally Street, and round the billets that we were in, carrying a stick.
Just round the street?
Yes, indeed, yes, yes. And the rest... Sorry?
Was there any purpose to it? You know, I mean, what were you looking for?
Well, I suppose anybody breaking into property, that was all. The property up there in Waverley Street was a pretty... for that time, was a pretty good standard. There were some big houses that had been taken over, of course, and...
I should have asked earlier, the actual civilians, were they there?
No, they weren't. No, they'd been...
The street's been cleared.
Right, yes.
So, if you weren't on guard...
Mm.
What else would you be doing?
Down to the NAFE in the village, or YMCA.
What did the NAFE and the YMCA offer, and what was different about them?
Well, you could get tea and wads, as we used to call it, and we were always hungry. We didn't seem to get enough to eat. Always ready for something more. So we went down there and had tea and wads. Some of the guys went out boozing, even. If they got any money, that is.
The NAFE, was that a wet NAFE? I mean, did they serve beer?
No, they didn't, no, no.
And did you drink at all at that time?
No, I didn't. Well, that's not quite true. I suppose I could, yes, I did. I could drink a pint, but I didn't like it particularly much.
So you wouldn't go out boozing, even if you had the money?
No, I wouldn't have done that, no.
You mentioned the money... You wouldn't get paid much at this time.
No.
Were you hard up for money?
I always seemed to have enough for what I needed at that stage to go to down to the NAFE. I made a voluntary allotment to my mother. And I think we got 7 shillings a week then. And 3 and 6 was what I managed on. But when I went home on a Sunday, Mother used to give me some of it back to keep me going a bit longer. And this is where the music business came in. I'd always been playing. I used to play the organ at the chapel, and I played various functions with works, mostly in the pub, funnily enough, and in the YMCA there was a piano, and I used to go down there and have a ding dong.
That was your main instrument, the piano and organ?
Then, yes, no, just those two. And so I got the chance to play down there, and there was a CQMS in this company that we'd got in the Waverley Street area, and he was an old soldier, an old First War man, and he knew about me piano playing, or he found out about it, and he said to me one day, "I want you to come with me, lad." And he took me to some pub down in Bulwell, and I played the piano, and he was drinking the pints as they came in. I was earning the money, and he was drinking the beer. I couldn't drink it. And he started to do this as often as he could, did CQMS Gibson, his name was. And that went on until we left.
What type of stuff would you play?
Oh, ragtag stuff, you know. The usual pub stuff. I wanted to play something better, but nobody wanted to know about it. Play so-and-so, hits of the day, and all that sort of thing, which I could do quite adequately.
Did you play with anybody else? I mean, did you meet any other musicians?
Yes, I met Wally in not so long afterwards. Not so very long afterwards, I met Wally.
I'll come to that, because So... You'd perhaps go to the YMCA or out to the pub, you know, with the thing. Now, what time were you due back?
10. Yes, got to be in by 10.
And straight to sleep?
Well, nothing else happening. Yes, that's more or less right, yes.
Now, how long did this period carry on for?
I can't remember. I'm trying to think of it now. I can't remember exactly. But I know the summer of 39 was a gorgeous one. It went on and on until...
Summer of 40.
40, sorry. It went on... it seemed endless. But then we'd left... We left Raleigh Street and Waverley Street before the winter set in. A battalion was formed, spread out round the Nottingham Shire area, and Battalion HQ was at Bestwood Lodge.
So the 70th Battalion was really taking shape now?
Yes, it was.
Now, where did you go to? Did you go to the lodge? Or?
I went to Bestwood Lodge, yes.
And what was the situation there?
It was a huge place, Bestwood Lodge, quite a nice country home in the park there. And I was in the main building. Some of the fellows were in Nissen huts in the parkland adjacent. And it was here when I started to go on various courses. I was selected out and I went on two courses. I went down to London to the Guards.
And what was that course?
That was the drill, military discipline and things like that. That went on for 2 months. I was down there in the Blitz, in fact, during the Blitz. The Blitz had started on London. And it was... I went to Regent's Park Barracks, Albany Street, in London. And
you actually accommodated in the barracks?
Oh, yes. You become part of the team, part of the whole setup. And between the various movements of rifle and foot and what have you. But when you went into the Guards, it became one, two, three, one, two, three, rather than the one-stop business. And everything was done with so much more sparkle. The kit and all your gear had to be absolutely immaculate all the time. Had some really harrowing experiences in the Guards.
What's for Chaz?
Sorry?
Could you tell us some of them?
Yes, I will. The bloke in charge there, the RSM, was no other than RSM Britton, Tibby Britton, the famous bloke with the loudest voice in the British Army.
What was Britton like?
He was a huge man, and his girth was like... I know when you laid his Sam Brown out on the table, it was like the belly band of a horse. And one of the duties, if you're on Jankers, if you were checked on parade, one of the duties was you were assigned to the RSM's quarters, and polishing this Sam Brown was one of them. And his pace stick, he had his pace stick polished and all that sort of thing. And I was a sergeant then, and I was admitted as a member of the sergeant's mess.
Now, just to interrupt, could you just explain how you come to be a sergeant? Because that's quite a quick promotion you've got.
Yes, I became a Lance Corporal during the days of Raleigh Street and Waverley Street.
So very early?
Oh, yes.
Why do you think they picked you out?
Well, they picked us out for potential promotion, officer material and that sort of thing. I think... Good. That was why John Nevitt and Guy Powell were there, obviously. They were on the same caper. And I was made full corporal soon after that. And then when these courses, which I went on, which I'll tell you about, obviously, later, when I went on these courses, I was made a Lance Sergeant. Acting unpaid Lance Sergeant.
Right, so that explains that. Now, you say you're allowed in the officer's mess.
In the sergeant's mess.
Sergeant's mess, yes. Of course. Sorry. What was that like?
Oh, at Regent's Park, it was quite an affair. The RSM met you at the door and said, you are now a member of the sergeant's mess. This is your home, and I shall be your father. And I looked at this bloke, Tibby Britton, 6 feet odd, and as far across as he was tall, and he frightened the living daylights out of me, and I thought, he's never going to be my father. But I didn't meet him a great deal personally, but I used to play the piano in the sergeant's mess quite a lot. And Tibby Britton had a lot of requests. He used to like to sit there and drink and sing as well. And he told some good stories.
What was he like as a bloke? Was he loudest voice in the British?
Oh, army? Yes, yeah, no doubt about that.
But was he a decent?
I never really fathomed that one. I didn't get... They never let you get close to them, obviously. But when we went into the sergeant's mess, he always had plenty of tales to tell, but he never asked about you or anything like that. But funnily enough, his report, the report I got, and I got the best report in the squad, I've still got it, he countersigned it, did Tibby Britton.
So, to you, he was a decent enough RSM?
Well, he was a good RSM, there's no doubt about that.
And what else were you? The military discipline, what was that all about?
Methods of charge sheets and in the office work, that was. And then there were the other things about learning the military law, about what you could do prejudicial to the good order of military discipline and that sort of thing. And all the lot of other things that came in about absence and to do mainly with the defaulter stuff, that was.
Could you cope with all that? I mean,
oh, yes, the bookwork and that I coped with very easily. Very easily. I was... they had the adjutant's parade and then the commanding officer's parade. Now, when the adjutant's parade was called, the whole battalion was there at Regent's Park, and there's a huge square, obviously. It was a real peacetime barracks, and the whole battalion paraded, and I was singled out to be right marker. And Tibby Britton started off with right markers, and he had a drummer. On the tap of the drum, you carried out the movements where you sort of come to attention, slope arms, and another tap of the drum, and then march on to the square where you were lined up in front of Tibby Britton. And I was right at the back. I was number 5 company, right marker for number five company. And you were supposed to open to close column distance. And Timmy Britton's command was open to close column distance, outward, turn. And again on the tap of the drum. And then you got to march 13 paces. Well, number one company marched 13, number two, 26, and so on.